when we say tefillah, and we hear the word davening, it could bring to mind different pictures. It could bring to mind, on the one hand, a heartfelt slichas, calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe even a quiet tefillah whispered in the middle of the day, say Sarah, in response to something in the moment. On the other hand, you think about tefillah, we think about the sitter. Certainly Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are coming, and the machzer is Baruch Hashem, very, very big. So which one is it? Is tefillah very kavua? Is tefillah a very long, fixed text? Or is tefillah free-floating? And Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, as there's a sefer Simcha Raz published a number of years ago, I believe the title was Hishtapkos HaNefesh. The title was Hemi HaSalev, the calling of the cooing, the calling of the heart. It's free-flowing conversational tefillos that Rabbi Nachman penned for different contexts. I have one up in framed in my dining room. It got as a gift when we moved to our new home in Bergenfield, a piece of artwork around the saw, around the border, has the classic tefillah on behalf of the bias. And in the center, it's Rabbi Nachman's tefillah that he should not lose his ga'aguim for Eretz Yisrael. Assume that piece of artwork is meant to be a double message. Enjoy your new home, but don't forget, don't lose sight of the dream. And it's a very gorgeous, that tefillah for the God, not to lose Gagun for Eretz Yisrael, not to lose the Yerim for Eretz Yisrael. It's a gorgeous tefillah, very heartfelt, very conversational. So which one is it? Sometimes you think the tefillah is this, sometimes you feel is that. It feels very formal, very fixed. The sitter, the machzer, the hule. This tefillah is sort of like this free-floating, they both seem right, but they don't. Just they sound like the same thing. So maybe we can use risk. So you get the trout in Brussels. Ironically, that makes sense. And as I mentioned earlier today, it's so often the case that looking carefully what seem like small, localized questions can open up big pictures in the answer. So I want to take a look to begin to crack open the sugya of tefillah that will take questions and comments. Sure. I want to begin with a detail. We'll begin with, as you saw, a steer in Gemara. A steer that Tosus raises about what sounds at first like the nitty-gritty details of Kavana Betrila. There are two Prakim Masechus Brachos of the non-Prakim Masechus Brachos. There are two that are dedicated to Hilchos Tefillah, because the first three are about Kriya Shema. And then from number six and on, it's about brachas on food and other brachas in Hilchos Suda. They're the fourth and fifth prakim, Perek Tefillas HaShachar, Perek Ein Omdim, are the two prakim that are dedicated to Inyan HaTefillah. So there's a steer between the last Amud Beis and the fourth prakim, and the last Amud Beis and the fifth prakim. You saw the last Amud Beis and the fourth prakim tells a story. A story of a Rebbe in Talmud. Chi Bar Abba was the second generation of Moron Eretz Yisrael. He was one of the great Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says that Chi Bar Abba once davened Shemoneh Esrei twice. He davened Shemoneh Esrei, Tzali v'Ad Tzali. He davened Shemoneh Esrei, then he had to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. So his Talmud, Rabbi Zeira, who incidentally had made Aliyah, the Gemara tells elsewhere the story. Rabbi Zeira learns in Yeshivas in Bavel, then he decided to move to Eretz Yisrael. Is obviously after he moved to Eretz Yisrael. Number one, because he's called Rebbe Zeira. Number two, because he's interacting with Rebbe Chibar Abba. So Rebbe Zeira is watching his new Israeli Rebbe, Davin, Tresse, and then repeat. He's trying to figure out what's going on here. So what does he say? Amalei asks, Amalei Zeira, my time on the Rebbe. Why is Rebbe doing that? In Aramaic, as in Yiddish, there's a third person honorific. It's more mechubah to refer to the Rebbe in third person. That's what he says. My time, I'll just marav. Not My time Avida Zachi. My time Avid Marachi. Why does Rabbi do? Why did Rabbi do that? And he starts clearing. Did you do it because, or did you do it because? If you did it because, the most obvious reason would be you didn't have kavanah. But that's hard to imagine. Is that Rabbi didn't have kavanah? You didn't focus your thinking literally. Like kivun is a direction. Well, kivun maradaiti, you remember chavin your das. You didn't focus your thinking in your shmona esrei. You that could be wrong for one of two reasons. Either because that wouldn't mandate repeating Shmona Esrei, or because it's hard to manage, that's what happens. So why does he reject it? Why does Zayr say it can't be that Rekiva Abba repeats Shmona Esrei because he didn't have Kavana? Why? Is it that the din is that you don't have to repeat? Right. Now, Abada, if you didn't have Kavana, you have to repeat, but it's hard to imagine that that's historically what happened. It's hard to imagine that he didn't have Kavana. Why? The Omer Blazer, the only mode of is Atmo. A Jew has to measure himself, the Modei. A Jew has to self-assess, self-evaluate, apparently in advance of Davening. And it should be noted before I go on, the word Tefillah, you may already know, we use the word Tefillah broadly to mean any part of Davening, but Chazal, Tanam and Ram use the word Tefillah, Soli in Aramaic, specifically to mean Shmona Esrei. Before a Jew that loves the Torah, so before a Jew davened Shmona Esrei, you have to measure yourself. You have to self-evaluate. If you hold the chaveinus libo, I'm able to focus my thinking, I'm able to focus my heart, then I should daven. And if not, then I should not. In other words, avada is true that if you didn't have a kavanah Shmona Esrei, you would have to repeat it. But it's hard to imagine that's what happened to Kibar Abba because, what? They should have caught it beforehand. Probably. Everyone makes mistakes sometimes. But maybe he would have missed Kavanah in the middle. But he should have. If Rabbi Elazar gave us instructions, he's supposed to stop for a couple moments and figure out, am I ready to daven Shmona Esrei now? So if he wasn't in the zone to have Kavanah, he would have caught it before and he wouldn't have even started Shmona Esrei. So what could it be? So Zera says, it must be something else. Must be, it happened to be Rosh Chodesh. Must be he left out Yala V'Yavo. And the Gemara has a whole discussion on Yala V'Yavo. You do go back, you don't go back. A kitzer, often we do go back for Yala V'Yavo. That must be, it's understandable that Kibra Abba made a mistake. He's a human being. He might have left the Yala V'Yavo. It's hard to imagine it did not have Kavan. Some of the Chevra pointed out during Seder, it's a little funny because leaving out Rosh Yal V'Yavo is usually something we associate with not having Kavana. He had Kavana, but he left the Yal V'Yavo. That's a joke that they tell. I think that's the way the story goes. It's a real story. But Behuda was very concerned with Hasidus, which was just beginning to develop in his time. He and the Baal Shem Tov were roughly contemporaries. In the late 1700s, the Rebbe Behuda actually wrote a famous tshuva, which maybe some other time we should take a look at. A very nuanced tshuva. It's often, people often don't appreciate the nuance of the tshuva. A very nuanced tshuva they wrote in June of 1776, about not the American Revolution, but the Hasidic Revolution. And he had his hesitations. He saw incredible value in being profoundly spiritual, and hesitations about the way the Baal Shem Tov was going about it. Akitzer, so they tell the story, and his own daughter, now his own daughter became a chassida, so to speak, of the Baal Shem Tov. A host of stories about the Yehud and chassidus. One of the stories they tell is that he called the Baal Shem Tov in and wanted to see, like, is he a Taka Talmud Chacham, who's qualified to be charting a new course in Avos Hashem, or not. So the way they tell the story is that the Yehud says, Baal Shem Tov, I'll ask you some easy questions. I'll ask you Yal V'Yavo Shailah. Easy Shailahs. You have to go back for Yal V'Yavo or not. So they say that the Baal Shem Tov said to Nebi Yehuda, I'm glad to try to answer the Rav's shailas, but I'll just say in advance, there's probably no nafkamina. No nafkamina Yal V'Yavo shailas. Why? So supposedly Baal Shem Tov said to him, because my chevra wouldn't forget Yal V'Yavo. There are two versions where they said your chevra wouldn't notice that they forgot, or if they repeat Shmona Esrei, they'd probably forget it again. I don't know if the story is true or not. Seems a little sarcastic. But it does highlight it does highlight that we might wonder, it's a funny Gemara. I wasn't paying attention to what I'm saying, and I left a Yal Yavo, so then that means I didn't have Kavana. So Gemara is talking about different shame thing. But that's already curious. Tosus points out a larger problem, not meaning they obey, but Tosus points out a sphere between this Gemara and another Gemara. The Gemara, four blocks later, at the end of the following parak, we're going to pick up from the second line of the Gemara, Lama Dala, and Beis. The Mishnah talked about something related but not the same. From the Ikka Damasana Braisa. Rav wrote the Braisa and presents a comment of the Amoran that might relate to this Braisa. The Braisa repeats as follows. Again, Lama Dala, and Beis is the second line of the Gemara after the Mishnah. Hamis Balel, Tarjan Chavin, is leaving. Look, a Jew is davening Shmona Esrei. You have to have Kavana, Bechulan. In all of them, in all of the brachas of the Shmona Esrei. That's what you're supposed to do. In any of the Kavan, Bechulan, if I can't have Kavan, all of them. And you have is new brachas. They should have Kavana for one bracha. That's the brisa. And that sounds pretty open-ended. Sounds like, which is the law? I don't know. If you have this particular bracha in mind, maybe it just means, I should have Kavana and Tarsh Shmona Esrei, but at least one bracha. Maybe any bracha. From the Braisa, it's hard to know, but the Amoran specified. Amar Rechia, Amar Safran, Yishum Chad, Bebe Rebbe, Rechia quoted Rav Safran, the name of one of the Talmidim, Udanasi, Be'avos. When we say one, we don't mean anyone, we mean a specific one, and that specific bracha, where Kavana is critical, is Avos. Avos is the name that Chazal used for the first bracha, the Magen Avraham, the first bracha of Shmona Esrei. So, Reb Chiya is explaining that the Braisa here in Lama Dala Beis tells us Kavana is ideal throughout Shmona Esrei, but only critical where? The first bracha. So that's what the Gemara tells us on Da'as Lama Dala Beis. Kavana is Ma'akeves, Ra, Ve'avos. Tosis says, one second. That's a little odd. Because Tosis says, you did not see a chav in here, Lamed Alamed. The Hadarim is so paired, Taf Hei, and Shios HaShachar, the fourth pair of the brothers. The whole Gemara of them is that you can't have a chav in Yisbalo. Bim Lava Yisbalo. The Gemara said you have to... Kavana is so critical in Shmona Esrei that you need to check in advance. And before you use some types of equipment, you got to do a safety check. You go rock climbing, you gotta look for your harness every time. Before you go rock climbing, make sure everything is intact, all the knots are packed properly, and nothing is frayed, nothing is worn away. You gotta do a safety check for each time you use the equipment. So that's why that was a good one on Daf Lama we learned before. You have to do a safety check. You have to do a Kavana check. You gotta damage Shmona Esrei. Make sure it's so critical to have Kavana Shmona Esrei that you have to check in advance when you damage Shmona Esrei to make sure that you have the capacity in place to have Kavana. What's Tosis's Kasha? Well, how does that differ from the Gemara Lama Dalet? How is Lama different from Lama Dalet?
Lama says Kavana
Dalet. Yeah, Lama just had Kavana and Tvila. We didn't specify where. So Lama sounded like, again, Tosis is very, very terse. Kedarkam, they don't really unpack the whole Kasha for us. You said, the Gemara earlier. You realize from the answer, the question was, well, there it sounds like you need Kavana Ma'akevas, period. The Kula, presumably. We didn't specify which part of Shmona Esrei. Kavana is critical in Shmona Esrei. Not in the first bracha, apparently, the whole thing. So what's Taisa's answer? A four-word answer. What's Taisa's answer? Someone read? What's Taisa's answer? A volunteer, back half the room? That's the Terence of Tosis. Take it away. Go ahead. Yesh Lafarish.
Yesh Lafarish. Yesh Lafarish.
Okay. A good assist there.
Yeah.
Tosis says that we could explain they're also Ba'achas, man. They're also just one. In other words, words, the Gemara, what Taisa is driving at, the Gemara before didn't specify. The Taisa says, okay, Sosam hard to come a farish. Earlier, we gave you the basic principle, namely, Kavanah Makir and Tefillah, we didn't give you the detail. 4 o'clock later, we explained, no, we said, well, Kavanah Makir, we meant Kavanah Makir, specifically in Avos. The second Gemara is interpreting, explaining, parameterizing the first Gemara. They go hand in hand. The first Gemara gave the call. The second Gemara worked out all the details. Right? That's what Tosfos says. Yesh lafarish, hasam nami v'achas. There too it means just one. For what you see. The kasha was, there it sounded like Kavaraz Makir the whole tefillah. Here it is. It wasn't clear. We didn't specify. And here it's specified. Sasa v'hadakam v'farish. Now, Lefit Tosfos. Let's think about this. Let's say Tosfos is writing the Sefer of Halacha. How many entries would they need for these two Gemaras? How many different demons do we have? How many separate topics? One. Right? The deed says one. Well, what would that one entry say? One combined entry for two Gemaras. What would that one entry say? No, you have to have Kavanah Daf. Ideally, the whole Shulchan Aruch answer, but ultimately, Kuvo in the first bracha, right? Because the Maisa, the second Gemara, is according to Tosfos, being the Farish, the first Gemara. That's Tosfos. Simple, one entry. Here's the problem. You open up a Rambam, that's not at all what's going on. And we mentioned the other week, and here's a golden example of this, that the Rambam Mishnah Torah is very, very consistent with his stated goal of quoting Chazal. Quoting Chazal in a very targeted, organized way, a very curated way, is what Rambam was one of Chazal's great curators. To pick carefully what he's going to quote, but everything that he's quoting is carefully chosen quotes of Chazal. Whenever there's a line in Mishnah Torah, again, as he tells us, unless he otherwise specifies, he's quoting a Mishnah, Tosafta, Gemara, Yishalmi, something. So you read a, when you read a Rambam, the Mishnah Torah, you often want to ask yourself, what's he quoting? This line, this halacha, it's a quote of what? So let's take a look at these two Rambams. Let's start with the Perek Yud Halacha Aleph. Deep, deep into the Hilchos Tefillah. Tenth Perek. Misha is followed, look even as Libo, Yachti is followed the Kavana. A Jew damaged for answer, didn't have Kavanah. Yahzur is called the Kavanah. If keeping his legal, the Brahman Mishavah should have been a Tzarek. If he had Kavanah the first Brahman, should have been a Tzarek. He no longer needs to Yahzur is called the Kavanah. No longer has to go back. What's that quoting? What's he quoting? Very good. Is it quoted what? Which one? Amidah, right? Mahmoud is the whole thing. Right? It was the whole thing. Both halves. Both halves. So she chavrezi v'kulon. But if not, then you chavrezi v'ba'ah. So you keep the whole thing. Ideally, you should have kavanah throughout, but if not, then not. So that's the Rambam in the Rambam Perek Yud, Halacha Aleph, is quoting Amad Alamitz. Gevalt. Now, keep your ears and eyes open as we move back. Six prak. 5.5 prakim to the end of Perek Daleth. He's talking about Kavanah Salim. And just to get a sense of perspective here, as you see, Perek Daleth opens the topic of Perek Daleth, the whole Rambam opens the topics for the whole Perek. As we've begun to see, an exceptionally organized man, and the goal of Mishnah Torah in particular is to organize the output of the Torah Shalpeh, to organize the outcomes of the Torah Shalpeh. So he tells you, he opens up Perek Daleth by telling you, here's what I'm going to talk about. Chamisha Dvar Ma'akne Zatfilah. Abba Pisha Giyazman. He already spoke earlier before the fourth Perek about Zman and Tefillah. And now he says, even if the Zman and Tefillah, it's already time for Shabbat, it's already time for Ma'akne, already time for Minchah, there are five other items besides Zman that could hold back your Tefillah. You're in the right time, but still, any of these five conditions, if they're not in place properly, your whole Tefillah, you were not Yotze the Tefillah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it talks about the context, the location, are your hands clean, are you properly dressed, is the location clean. Do you have the need to use the restroom? And finally, kavanas halev. The five items which are ma'akev. By the way, you're saying the right text at the right time, but if any of these conditions are not in place, they're a little, you're not yotze. And then he goes through one by one. What do I mean by Tara Sanedayim? What do I mean by Kisa Erba? And so on and so forth. Finally, Lafa Tezvah, he's up to item number five. Kavanas Alei Ketzad. What do I mean that Kavanas Ma'akim is Tfilah? I'll skip a line. Now, if his spala below kavana, chod him his spala be kavana. Daven without kavana, you have to read up. Motza daito mishu beshes, libo tarot. If you discover that your mind and heart are not in the zone, your mind and heart are not sharp and focused, asr lo le spala tishashet daito. You should not daven until you calm yourself, you focus yourself, and you ran into, you can run into mincha, huffing and puffing, and they raise our Shemoneh Esrei, so our natural instinct might be jump into Shemoneh Esrei. Rambam says, curb your natural instinct, take a deep breath, focus, quiet, in the zone, and now you're ready to daven Shemoneh Esrei. Now, that's a rephrasing of which Gemara. If you discovered, you found that your mind and heart are not focused. Where did the Gemara speak about finding? On a base, right? Lom yomen adam esdaito. As Rav Lassa said, you have to check yourselves. Rav says, if you checked, that's how you found. You found because you looked. Yagata matzasa. You took the time to check, and you said, today I'm not yet ready, I need to focus a little bit. So Lav Lamed is quoting the Gemara, that's Rambam in Perek Daled, is calling the Gemara and Daflam and Beis. And that's why he has the previous line. His father will Kavana, Chuz and his father Kavana. And Tos point out, that's the upshot of that Gemara and Daflam. He doesn't have Kavana, you have to read Daven with Kavana. That was explained. Where was that clear in the Gemara that if you Daven up and you have to read Daven with Kavana? Which Amor told us that?
Zer.
After Zer said, could it be that you didn't, but you repeat Shema Esrei to put din of Kavana, and as I said before, he didn't say that's not the din. He just said it's unlikely that he didn't have Kavana, because you would have checked first. But in a Hanami, if you taka somehow didn't have Kavana when you're davening, you would have to daven again. So this whole, the Rambam Perek Daled is quoting the Gemara in Daflam. So that's curious, because Tosus had said the answer to the stira. There is no stira. Tosus had said here. Daflam and the Gemara says Kavanas Ma'akev sounds like throughout Shema Esrei. Daflam and Dalet, the second Gemara, just Ma'akev. It's ideal throughout Shema Esrei, but only Ma'akev in the first bracha. So Tosus, as you saw, I very elegantly, tersely raised the kasha and said, "No, the answer is." The Gemara and Daflam didn't specify. So really, what it means is bi'avos. But the Gemara didn't make it clear until you get to Lama Dalam Beis what we meant over there. As we said before, for Tosis, there only, as Deet said, there will only be one entry. This second Gemara is the same shot in the first Gemara. The Rambam, though, does not present it that way at all. He quotes the two Gemaras in two different places. Two different, not just two different halachas, two different prakim. Two totally different contexts. As though they're two different dinim. So number one, the stira remains. Which one is it? Is Kavana Ma'akev throughout Shemoneh Esrei, Perek Daled, or Kavana Ma'akev only in the first bracha, Perek Yud? And he's like, according to the Gemara, as though they're unrelated to each other. Very bizarre. Very bizarre. And here's something else. Let's dig even deeper into Halacha Tezvah, because we had skipped a line before, as I warned you. Then now let's read Halach Tezvav again. The beginning of Halach Tezvav was added in Sibish. Kavanah Salai Ketan. What do I mean when I say that Kavanah is Ma'akev HaSatz Tefillah? What do I mean by that? What's the case? Called Tefillah She'ina B'Kavanah Ina Tefillah. Tefillah without Kavanah is not Tefillah. That's a strong statement. An essential, intrinsic statement, a definition. Tefillah without Kavanah isn't Tefillah. Wow. That's real. That's fine. You didn't die. You didn't even die. You didn't die. Okay, misfal below kavana. Now the line that we read before. If you die without kavana, chose your misfal bechavana. If you die without kavana, you have to read up. It's ma'akim. Now, you might ask yourself, it seems sort of redundant. I mean, obviously, if tefillah without kavana isn't called tefillah, whatever that means. But obviously, if you die without kavana, you didn't die, you have to do it again. It seems a little redundant. Rambam's being very dramatic here. He could have either skipped the first line or could have skipped the second line. He could have just could have skipped the second line, could have said, called tefillah, shayin the kavani and tefillah. Obviously, if you missed it, if it's not tefillah, you have to read out. Or he could have been more practical and left at the first line. What do you need that first line for? Very strong line. Tefillah that kavani is not tefillah. Just say, hello, kolmaisa. His fault, hello, kavani, close my fault, the kavani. So we have four kashas. How about I say? Four kashas. Let's recap. Four kashas. Number one, four kashas within the framework of the sugya. We opened with a question of b'chalal, like trying to figure out what is tefillah. Is tefillah nusach, machzer, sinner, or is tefillah free-flowing conversation with Ramon Shalom? Formal or casual? Casual is the wrong word. But informal. That was sort of the opening puzzle. Once we got into the sugya, so it bothered number one within Daf Lamed itself, as we saw, the Gemara seems to differentiate between not having kavana versus not saying Alviyava, which we would, as the Baal Shem Tov pointed out, we would think that kavana, Alviyava. If you have kavanah for Esrei, you're going to remember to say Alviyava. If you're not paying attention, you're leaving Alviyava. So the Gemara of Lamed Kishala Atzmo, Minei Ubei, that's a funny Gemara. As though there's a difference between not having kavanah and not saying Alviyava, where when we would have thought that not saying Alviyava is symptomatic of lacking kavanah. That's problem number one. Problem number two is the problem that Tosas raised, which was a steer between the two Gemaras, Lama and Lama Dalet, is Kavana Ma'akeves B'chol HaTfilah, or only Ma'akeves in the first bracha? Ideal in the whole Tfilah, only Ma'akeves in the first bracha. Tosa given an answer to that question number two, but the Rambam clearly doesn't accept it, because the Rambam quotes the two Gemaras independently. Problem number three was that the Rambam not only quotes each Gemara separately, so it's clearly not saying that one's being far from the other, he quotes them like two different prakim, as though they're like unrelated to each other. Starting off, for instance, to make it better or worse. It's about the same thing. You're talking about how is kavana ma'akim, is kavana not ma'akim, kavana tefillah. It's bizarre. It's very un-Rambam-like. But the same topic is going to reopen the same discussion in a totally different pair. And problem number four, in reading the Rambam Perek Daleh carefully, is that he seems to repeat himself in the opening lines of Allah Tazvab, Karadallah Tazvab, before he gives you the practical feel without kavana, that if you feel without kavana, you have to read Avin, he first gives you this abstract statement that feel without kavana isn't tefillah. What does this all mean? What does this all mean? And how might it even help us to understand tefillah in general? I think the understanding how it helps us to seeing how it helps us understand tefillah in general, we're going to save for tomorrow. And perhaps tomorrow we'll have a chance to see other nafkaminas as well. But in the 12 minutes or so that remain, let's deal with these two Rambams here. And in dealing with these two Rambams here, we're going to begin to discover Yisod and Tefillah, that Mircham tomorrow, and Seder and Shir, will be able to see how that sheds light on other areas of tefillah beyond kavana as well. You need to know one important halachic principle, halachic concept. It comes up in many areas of shas. Usually comes up in the area of isurim, of the rules that govern a maisa. But it has relevance here, perhaps too. So you know, everybody knows, that the difference between shogeg and mezid. A Jew does not bear Rahman al-Islam, so you can do it out there, but they do it out there, shogeg. Either way, typically, he needs kapara, But how much kapara he needs is going to vary. And we were just talking the other day, a Jew does an Avera, one of the 30-some-odd Averas for which one is Chayiv Kares, the Torah prescribed, a Jew does the following Avera, is Baal Hanidah, Mechal Shabbos, Yitzin Yom Kippur, Chametz and Pesach, Mefaten Ketoris Kemaskumta, whatever it is, whichever the 30-some-odd long enough pieces, I violate a law, which is a Chayiv Kares, if I violate the Mezid, the Takiv Kares, if I violate the Shogay, what's the onesh? No kares, chatas. Very good. Carbon chatas. Right, so apparently, you still need kapara. Carbon chatas is t'mecha. The psukim are very clear. T'mecha on the chet. So you're not off the hook when you're a shogeg, but less. It's less severe. Not so severe. Mezen means you understood what you were doing. You understood that it was aser. And the shot nefesh, you said, I know it's the wrong thing to do, but I'm so hungry, I desire, I have such an appetite, which whatever the chet is, I'm going to do it regardless. He gave in to type. He understood what he was doing. That's amazing. That's very severe. That requires very significant kapar. Shogeg means, what's an example of shogeg? A Jew says, he didn't know that. A Jew wakes up on the, he takes a long nap on the deck, still a couple of, hopefully still a few more, warm Shabbos afternoons that remain, long and warm Shabbos afternoons. So fell asleep on the deck, in the back of the house on Shabbos afternoon, and Geshmach HaShluf, Sheni B'Shabbos Taina. And it was so deep, such a deep sleep, and he woke up in the first few seconds, wasn't even sure like where he was, when it was, like he was like out of it. And he said, oh, I forgot to water the plants. So he grabs the watering can, and starts watering the plant. He's called the Shabbos. He drops the watering can. So up until that point, that was shogeg. He didn't realize it was Shabbos today. He knew that he was watering. It's not that he wasn't sleepwalking. He knew he was watering the plants, but he didn't realize it was Aser. He either didn't realize it was Shabbos, or he didn't know or didn't remember that watering is a tolada that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. And he didn't realize what he was doing was Aser. Now, how about, though, the following case? How about the following case? So you're sitting, once again, a long, warm Shabbos afternoon, but now you're inside. You're at the kitchen table. You're slicing tomatoes for Shal Shudas. We're coming Shabbos. Before Shabbos, you got tomatoes on the vine. Well, a little nicer, we're coming Shabbos. You're slicing tomatoes. Then you realize, after you've sliced most of the tomato, that this is like on the vine on the hadra. Because you notice that this tomato actually has a vine, it's connected to a vine that doesn't end after an inch. The vine on this tomato goes out the window and down to the soil. And you think the Gemara gives this case. It sounds like a humorous case. Or it is a case in Parakal Go, in Sefer Shabbos. The Jew didn't realize that he was cutting, he was doing slicing a tomato, he didn't realize this tomato was still attached to the ground. So I knew I was slicing a tomato, but I had no clue that in slicing I was detaching part of the tomato from the ground. I was doing Malachas Kotzer. Not that I didn't realize that Kotzer is Aser. Not that I didn't realize that today is Shabbos. I knew today is Shabbos. I knew that Kotzer is Aser. I didn't realize that I was doing Kotzer. I didn't realize I was detaching half of the tomato from the ground by cutting it because I didn't realize it was attached to the ground. So not that I didn't realize the halakhic significance of what I was doing, but I didn't realize what I was doing. I was not aware of my pu'ula. I lacked kavanas pu'ula. Not that I didn't know that it was usher, I lacked kavanas pu'ula. When you lack kavanas pu'ula, when you don't know, when you're not aware of what you're doing, we call that not shogeg, but misasik. Misasik. A Jew didn't even realize what he was doing. Did not realize the physical action that he was engaging. He knew he was cutting a tomato, but he didn't realize he was detaching the tomato from the ground. I knew I was walking around in my suit jacket all of Shabbos, but I didn't realize that I had totally forgotten. I had left something, a place card in my pocket for the wedding I went to on Thursday night, and I was in the community without any roof. And all Shabbos long, I was carrying. And not that I didn't realize it's usher to carry. That sometimes is also a problem. You grow up in a community with an Erev, sometimes you're not trained to understand that there's a malacha called up. So that wasn't the issue. He didn't even realize that he was carrying. He had no idea there was something in his pocket. Matzah Shabbos, he's taking off his suit jacket, put it away. He sits in Bach, he goes, he's carrying around the place card all Shabbos long. So that's misaseh. Not that I didn't realize what I was doing, it was aser. I didn't realize what I was doing. I didn't realize I was carrying all Shabbos. I had no idea of something in my pocket. So that's misaseh. Misaseh, there's no, not even a carbon chatzis. Not even a carbon chatzis. Nothing. And there's a big machoikas. Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Nesivos, how to make sense of that? Rabbi Chaim seems to side with the Nesivos that if you're a Misasek, there's no Onesh because if you don't even realize what you're doing, it's as though you didn't do it. The Masa does not relate to the Osa, the act does not relate to the actor. If the actor is unaware of his act. If I don't realize the action I'm doing, then it's like a mice happening on its own. Without Kavanas Pa'ula, I don't own the Pa'ula. That's the way, that's one approach in Achronim. And after the Reb Chaim says the following. He says, it's Rambam. Very, very, very strident. Kavanas Pa'ula, it's not Tefillah. Why is that? Why is that? He says he thinks there's a misasek at work. Where is the misasek? Reb Chaim says, why don't you read one more halacha? Read halacha tesai. Perigdal, the more deep, fundamental type of lack of kavana, Raman goes on to say, what is this kavana? Keita niya kavana. What is this kavana? What does it mean to have kavana? So if I asked you, before you saw this Rambam, maybe you already saw it in Beis Arish, I asked you before you saw this Rambam, what does it look like? I want to have better Kavanah. That's how many of us were thinking about that last night, but we're thinking about that, of course, in the next couple of weeks. I want to have better Kavanah. Already halfway, more than halfway through Kodesh Elul. Some of several of us, many of us, maybe all of us, already begun to think about it. You know, I'd love to increase my Kavanah. What would that look like? What tool would you use to increase Kavanah? Many people probably say, an Ashkel Siddur, or whatever translation you prefer. Lutzuda, Koren, burn down the solar pool, Siddut HaUpiot, Echshu, Binat Yisrael with a foot to the bottom.
To think what you're saying, Kavanah means, I say Refainu. I recognize I'm davening for people who need a Refuah Shleimah, or I'm davening people healthy, they should remain healthy. Baruch Aleinu. I'm davening the Kaddish Baruch Hu. The people who don't have jobs should find jobs. People whose jobs are unstable. Unstable should have greater stability. Should keep my job. Parnasa. And so on and so forth. To think about what you're asking for and to think about what you're saying. What's shocking, though, is the Rambam, in his first discussion of Kavanah, doesn't say a word about Pirush Avilus. He says, Alam Peragalach HaTazayin. What does Kavanah look like? The clear mind of all extraneous thoughts. And to see yourself as though you were in the presence of the Shechina. Kavanah means you're aware of the fact that you are only the Shechina. He says that's why you have to prepare yourself. Don't just zoom in, don't just run into the Shemona Esrei. You have to sit first and focus. That's part of what we do with Ashrei, with Pesukei Dezimra and so forth. You have to prepare. You have to build up to that awareness that you're in the Hashem. And he goes on to talk about how you prepare for this. Not a word about the content. Kavanah's pure shamilus is absent. That's what we thought Kavanah was. So Reb Chaim suggests in the Sefer on Rambam, Perek Dalet of Tefillah, he says, yo, the answer is, the reason why the Rambam has two different entries is because there are two different things that we can call Kavanah and Tefillah. The second one is what we usually think of. Kavanah is Pirush Hamilus. That's Kavanah number two. Kavanah is Pirush Hamilus. What the words mean, that's the second Kavanah. That's the second Gemara. That's the second Rambam. That's not Daf Lam and Dalet. That's Perek Yud. Perek Yud is all about details of Shemoneh Esrei, right? Goes on to talk about what happens if you leave by Masha'er, or Hashem, you leave by Yal V'Yavo. That's the content of the opening of Perek Yud.
the nitty gritty details of Shmoneh Esrei are sometimes ma'akev. So, knowing what you're saying is clearly a good idea, tzara b'chav and b'chulon, but you're yotzei your Shmoneh Esrei as long as you at least had kavan pirish milos in the first brach. Ironically, what's more deeply ma'akev is the other kavana. What's the other kavana? It's what the Rambam described in Perek Dal Halacha Tezayin. Kavanas, omed lifnei Hashem. To be aware that you're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki'ilu omed lifnei Hashchina. Why is that? You might never even have heard of that. What is that? And that's more ma'akev. That's more ma'akev than knowing what I'm saying. What do you mean? I've always been raised to know what you're talking about. That's kavana. Says Reb Chaim in one line in the Sefer, Reb Chaim says a profound line, which we'll unpack more, believe it tomorrow. He says, because if you don't have kavanas on lifnei Hashem, remember we had seen that the Rambam said he didn't just tell me lemaisa practically if I lack kavana after Pesach and Esrei. He had preceded that at the beginning of Dalet Tezvav with an essential statement. Kavana without tefillah is not kavana. Says Reb Chaim, tefillah without kavana is not tefillah. Tefillah without kavana is not tefillah. Reb Chaim says, yeah, that's called nesase. If you harvested vegetables on Shabbos and didn't realize you were harvesting vegetables, you're a nesase. Kili, you didn't do the act of harvesting vegetables. If you davened, Reb Chaim assumes it's true for mitzvahs also. If you davened and didn't realize that you were davening, ki'ilah espala. If I shook lulav, I was unaware that I was shaking lulav. That's hard to imagine. How would I be unaware of the fact that I'm shaking lulav? But in theory, if I could shake lulav without noticing that I'm shaking lulav, okay, I would not be okay. There is such a machlokes as Rashi and Tosfos. Let's say I was saying the words of Kriya Shema. I didn't even realize I was checking a mezuzah. I was checking the Sefer Torah, and I didn't even realize that I was mouthing the words. So maybe I'm not yotzei. My folks are actually those, probably, I think, the same issue. The great beginning of the second paragraph of Brachos. You didn't even realize that you were doing the act of Kriya Shema. The act of Kriya Shema is Kriya Shema, saying the words, saying the paragraphs of Shema. You didn't realize you were talking. You were just looking at it with your eyes, and you didn't realize unintentionally you were mouthing the words. How about by Shmoneh Esrei, though? Here's what's fascinating. I didn't know that I was saying the words of Shmoneh Esrei. I just didn't realize that I was only listening to Hashem. Chaim says that's a misasim, which tells me the following critical concept, which I'll leave you for now. I'll pick up tomorrow. Unlike Kriya Shema, where the definition of the Maisa Mitzvah is to recite a certain paragraph. Obviously, Kavanah is very important, but the act of the Maisa Mitzvah is to say the word. The act of Tefillah, apparently, according to Rambam, is not saying the words. The act of Tefillah is Amidah Lifnei Hashem. You go out for coffee to meet someone. So, oftentimes, what you say is secondary to having a good vibe together. You're spending time together. It'll be awkward to sit there and stare at each other and not say anything. Obviously, you're going to talk about stuff, and it may be important. Sometimes your first meeting with someone is really about content. But oftentimes, it's more about the relationship, getting to know someone. And maybe you talk about things. But talking about things is the way in which you spend time together. But essentially, what you're doing is spending time together. Suggest your kind, again, in one line, if you should kind of lady. And what the Rambam is telling me, the definition of tefillah is not saying words. Saying words is how you do tefillah. The definition of tefillah is spending time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amidah Lifnei Hashem. And that's why, if you were not thinking what the words meant, it's not ideal, but an act of tefillah, it remains. Daf Lamed Daled Perek Yud. But if you knew you were saying Shmoneh Esrei, you knew you came to Shul, you knew you davened in Shabbos, you knew you were saying the words Shmoneh Esrei, but you weren't focused on the fact that I'm talking to God. I'm in the presence of Ribbono Shel Olam. If you weren't cognizant of that, I know I'm doing what Jew is supposed to do, supposed to daven Shmoneh Esrei, say all the words, Masha Ruach Yal Yalo, Gevaldik. You missed the whole point. You knew you were saying words, but Tefillah is not saying words.
tefillah is amid l'fnei Hashem. Saying words is what you do when you sit down for coffee with Rabbi Shlomo 3 times a day. But the essence of tefillah is amid l'fnei Hashem. You didn't really join l'fnei Hashem. Call tefillah she'ein v'kavana ain't a tefillah. That's not a tefillah at all. Because you're a misasnik. You didn't realize the essential act you were doing, which ought to be being omeg, being face to face with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. There are many. This already answers the 4 kashas that we had. There are many more opportunities outside the sugya of kavana v'tefillah, larger, expanding to other issues in tefillah, that this definition of tefillah as a middle of Hashem with the word, the text as the tool, the method, but not the essence of what it is. We will continue on that theme tomorrow.